This is KD&K Carbondale. Support for Geek Speak. Support for KD&K comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair. Networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected, 970-948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good. Beautiful May Day.
Yeah, we haven't done a show for, what, 30 days?
Something like that.
We should have all kinds of things to talk about.
Yeah.
I have nothing.
That's. I guess we can always talk about, make sure your surge suppressors are tested and installed.
You know what? That's a good one, actually. Yeah. It's
it's a little dark. The clouds are a little dark out there today, and you know, we just gotta make sure that the very angry pixies that come from the sky don't come down and zap your DC pixies.
Yeah. So, hey, this is a great spontaneous subject. What is the deal with surge suppressors, Matt?
All right. So there's several different versions, and I'm going to be a little rusty, but basically it's a device that's usually, it can be an inline device for your power supply. They also make ones for your Ethernet cables and PoE devices and things like that. So like if you have like maybe a Starlink, it might be smart to put a 48 volt surge suppressor in between that, although they, you know, I'm trying to think of how many cords there of theirs I have mangled and replaced with reasonable ones.
Yeah, got it.
But you know, just trying to figure out where, you know, where that errant voltage is going to come from, because the issue is like if you have a long layout of cable, you know, on the ground or, you know, inside of a building or something like that, basically it acts like a giant radio antenna, and basically if there's a close lightning strike, the energy from the lightning strike will induct a voltage into that like an antenna, and it's just gonna go to ground. It's gonna figure out its way to get to the ground, and that's where it's gonna go. So I kind of look at it from both sides. So you know, inside the building, I can't really think of ones I've had problems with. Although I guess I did have several years ago the wire between my that was my cable modem and my. And I had a 10 gig GBIC into my router, and it cooked the 10 gig GBIC.
Got it.
Because I had 2.5 gig connected between my modem and my router.
Got it.
So it can happen. You know, that was a $60 part that got zapped. So, and I probably, in that case, that wire was pretty short, so it probably wouldn't have, a surge suppressor probably wouldn't have helped me, and I already have on UPSs and everything, but that was one of those flash booms, you know, a couple hundred yards away, situations. So, you know, just, and the other thing is those things do wear out the electronics in them. If they get, you know, zapped two or three or four times over the years, they work, less and less well. Most of them are designed to fail in a state where, they don't work anymore. So it's like, you know, you plug it in, turn it on, and it just trips immediately. So, but just, you know, I guess the other thing is to unplug, you know, if you're on a laptop, you can unplug and continue working on Wi-Fi.
Yeah, since you're definitely not. Well, you know, I guess, because I've been having a lot of conversations with people about this just recently, and the place I usually start with surge suppressors is letting people know that, you know, if you have a close enough lightning strike or a direct strike on your house, there's enough voltage there that the voltage is actually capable of jumping from one side of the surge suppressor to the other.
Right.
So that pretty much renders the surge suppressor useless.
Yeah, because at that point you'd have to have like copper wires, and you'd have to have
like a ground strap, you know, to effectively really dissipate the
strike. Well, I was
going to
say,
strike, you know,
direct the strike away from the equipment.
Yeah,
even,
exactly.
Basically, you know, because once it, you know, if it hits some of the Romex in your wall, or, you know, inside the wall, or you know, or something like that, you know, then you have, you know, hundreds, millions of volts and they're just going to go wherever they want because it arced, you know, hundreds and hundreds of feet or yards. And
so it's probably smartest if you're having a really active lightning event around your house. Just the only surefire way to really protect your electronics is to completely disconnect it from the wall. You know, and I know that's a complete pain to do. And I don't even just turning the switch on the surge suppressors off isn't enough. That won't do it.
Well, that'll probably help.
It'll help.
It's probably a 70%, 60-70% thing. But once it gets too close, it's too close. It's just going
to
win.
Yeah. So the only surefire way to protect your stuff in a really active lightning storm, is to basically make sure that it's just not connected to a wall outlet. Excuse me, until the storm passes, and what's your opinion about, I mean, because, you know, you see these surge suppressors, and they have different ratings on them, and they use the term joules,
right,
as the, that's the rating of how much over prescribed current comes in through the power outlet, and how much the surge suppressor is capable of suppressing,
mm-hmm.
basically, right?
Right. Well, and that's like the big number. That's like the advertising number.
Uh-huh.
So it's not a bad number to know how much energy that the system can dissipate. But you also have to worry about clamping voltage, and then there's a reaction time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like how long does so once it gets above the clamping voltage. So so for example, let's say we're doing 120 volts. So let's say the clamping voltage is maybe 170 volts or something like that. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of different things. So basically what happens is if there's a small spike, it just goes, whatever, go through. Once it gets to that clamping voltage, then it really goes, okay, I'm going to dump this to ground. We're shutting down here.
Yep. Okay.
And
got it.
So... and then how long does it take it to do that? And mm-hmm. so to me, I look at those a little, you know, it's like how much over the expected voltage does mm-hmm. it start clamping and how quickly does it do that? And a lot of them are like, you know, four nanoseconds. So mm-hmm. But some of them are slower and faster.
It's probably safe to say that the technology that went into a surge suppressor that was made 25 years ago is probably way less than, you know, it probably doesn't have quite the, you know, the set of specifications that you're describing.
Yep.
And so, you know, as much as I hate to fuel the, you know, go out and buy a new one market, if you are running on 25-year-old or 20-year-old surge suppressors, you might want to consider replacing those. And I would also throw into the mix that you might want to consider replacing them with a battery backup instead, because the surges are damaging to electronic equipment, but probably the more damaging or equally damaging is what's called a brownout.
Right.
And there are devices, if a device is plugged straight into the wall, there are devices that will sit there and try to make do with the puny little, you know, sparkly little 92 volts coming out of the wall for a period of time or even less. But at a certain point, they just can't do it anymore.
Right.
And that's when the smoke comes out.
Yeah. You know, so. Right. Because what happens is as the voltage drops, it draws more and more current, and the circuit isn't designed to pull that current. Mm-hmm. And so that once you're pulling more current, things start getting hot. Current makes things toasty hot, and if you are doing that for too long of a period, the smoke's going to escape from the power supply somewhere.
Exactly. And scenario that happens is the on-off, on-off, on-off scenario that happens a lot of times when electricity is restored, and that's really hard on electronics as well, and the battery backup, basically.
Right. Yes.
As long as you're within the threshold, you know, like most of the battery backups you buy at Walmart or Target will probably protect a basic computer and a monitor for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, they've gotten
if you don't have a bunch of other stuff piled on there.
Yeah, and you've got to make your choices, you know, because you want to look at the draw of the computer, the draw, and all these draws unless you're doing something, you know, that's computationally intensive, mm-hmm. a computer and a monitor idling now, you know, it's like 10% of the power of something for 10 or 15 years ago. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 970-963-2976.
Yeah.
Haven't got that out there yet.
I was going to shoehorn it in there in a minute.
All right.
So, yeah, give us a call if you have any questions about your tech.
And then there's
if you're going to buy a surge suppressor, definitely call us.
Yeah, and then there's four different kinds of surge suppressors. So you have the old school ones are standby, where it's basically just sitting there monitoring,
mm-hmm.
and there'll be a brief power outage, uh-huh. and it'll click over and start generating power mm-hmm. From the battery. And then there's Line Interactive, which is pretty much all of the entry level ones at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's what's the other? There's one in between. When
you first started this paragraph, you said there are different kinds of surge suppressors, but what you meant is there are different kinds of battery backups.
Both.
Okay.
There are both.
Got it.
There's different circuits to do surge suppression. Mm-hmm. There's different technologies and circuits that make your battery backup work, because you're taking 12 volts from the battery or 24 volts from the battery
mm-hmm.
and trying to get out and making
120 volts or 110 volts out of it.
AC, yeah. You know, yeah. So it's
alternating.
Then you have whether they're pure sine wave, which is what the power usually is,
mm-hmm.
Or if they're modified sine wave where it'll go like, you know, mm-hmm. 60, 80, 100, 120, and then back down, then negative, and
uh-huh.
and so they kind of jump. If you plug that into an audio equipment, if you have one that does not a pure sine wave, you'll kind of hear like a pop to it, because it'll mm-hmm. you'll hear an additional noise when it's running. That being said, I don't know if I've seen a standby one or a non pure sine wave UPS in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I
got it. Yeah, looks like we got a call coming in.
Yeah.
So. All right.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks. It's Donna. How are you?
We're good. How you doing?
Pretty good. I wasn't able to listen so far. What were you guys talking about?
We're talking about surge suppressors. How exciting
and
is that?
And UPSs.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, I was...
Because lightning season is here, you know, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to mention about how I've been enjoying using... I hate to admit it, ChatGPT.
Well, hey, let's talk about that. So, how do you use it?
Well, I've been using it for things like asking, like tax questions.
Oh,
as an example.
Yeah,
good. Investment questions, tax mm-hmm. questions. Health questions. But what's nice about it, then you can, like, for example, I'll say, okay, where is there a cardiology place in Denver, right? Mm-hmm. Research or something. And then then it'll come up with some answers, and then I'll say, are any of them specific to women? Like, you can keep asking it questions.
And it compiles a history of your questions, so it doesn't give you redundant answers or... it's able to continue refining the search based on your interaction. Yeah.
Right. So. And I had a friend of mine, like I was talking to her about something, and she asked ChatGPT, and then she sent me the link to the chat. But so I was able to see what she asked and the answers.
Uh-huh.
But then I couldn't save it.
Oh.
So it's. Like she could save it in hers, but she asked so many questions she deleted it. So the next time I clicked on the link, it was gone.
Oh, darn. Yeah.
So what I did do though is I took a screenshot of the question she asked.
Uh huh.
So that I could re-ask the question in my own ChatGPT.
Uh huh.
And then I'm not sure if you can save your chats and your questions. I've only tried it, you know, several times on my phone. I haven't tried it to where I can save the chats. Have you guys tried that?
You know, I really haven't. I usually copy and paste them. I usually use it for document editing or, you know, refining a document or whatever. And so I'm like copying and pasting a lot. So I've usually have it somewhere like in a text or in a notes document or whatever off to the side. So, but yeah,
I was gonna say, I'm running them local on a machine at my house.
He's got his own ChatGPT.
I got my own little ChatGPT.
You know, Matt, come on. You know.
That being said, I've been using Grok. Been playing with that one, and the other one I've been playing with is Perplexity AI, which is more of a kind of a AI search engine kind of centric thing. Which, for some of the stuff I've been doing lately, has been great because I just go, "Hey, I'm using you know this command. I'm using this other thing." And I'm using this other thing. I'm putting a bunch of things together, and I basically say, "Hey, I'm putting all these things together. How do I glue them together?" And they'll come up and say, "Well, if you want to do this, it's this way. If you want to do it this, it's this way." And it's just been real handy for that.
Okay, so Grok, G-R-O-K, and what's the other one?
Yeah,
you said?
Like Robert A. Heinlein, "Stranger in a Strange Land," to Grok.
To understand, yes. Basically, yeah,
yeah. So very deeply, though.
Yeah,
but
understand on a deep level.
Yes.
And the other one, you said there's another app.
The one I'm using, I use a lot, is Perplexity AI. Yeah, and it's kind of more like an AI search engine, is what I would call it. So, but it's pretty good about picking stuff out. Mm-hmm. From the technical, I mainly use it for technical questions, and it has worked really well. I've used it for some non-technical questions, and it's also been very adequate.
Fair warning, oh, okay. It's a little bit perplexing. I'm sorry, I did that. I did that in honor of Steve Skinner because that's something that he would have said.
Yes, it would.
If he was, yes.
Oh gosh,
the missing man.
Yeah, I miss Steve. Yeah,
we
I'm
all
always
do.
Talking about stuck. I'm always talking about stuck on the TV, you know. I like to show his video and your corn song.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Those are the two songs, my two favorites there.
That's some good work there for sure. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's good. It's amazing that you know you guys are both geeky and talented.
Yeah. Well, you know, accidents do happen.
Yeah. Hey, are you guys going to be at Dandelion Days?
Yeah, we're gonna make a loop. We're gonna get our tomatoes there.
I think I'm going to be doing things related to the moving of a rock shop. So as joyful,
where are you moving
joyful
your rock
as that
shop?
Make. So we're just moving into the very next unit over in the same building.
Okay.
And this is all to help facilitate the construction of the Bohemian Beer Spa. And
I see. Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So,
okay.
But it's been one of those. I think that the move date's been kicked back 5 times now. So.
Oh,
we still
oh
don't
goodness.
Have any electricity at this point.
So. Oh, wow.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Well, I'll be there on Saturday. I'll look for you guys.
Well, yeah. Stop by the rock shop. I'll probably be down there if you're like down in Glenwood. So,
yeah.
If
I get down there before or after you're open, I will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. Cool.
What are your hours, by the way?
10 to 5.
10 to 5. Okay.
Yep. So.
Sweet. That's fantastic. Maybe, maybe I'll make it down there with my friend who's the rock guy.
Nice. Yeah, if you haven't been in for a while, you'll love what my wife's done with the place. So.
Oh, good. So, okay, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. So,
all right. Guys.
Well, hey, thanks for the call, Donna.
Yeah, talk to you guys later. Yeah. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
That was our foreign correspondent, Donna Dalton, calling in from the Front Range. So. Still got a few minutes, 970-963-2976. If you want to weigh in on AI or surge suppressors or battery backups. Or,
yep.
So anyway, where were we?
So as I say, most of them are called line interactive, which means they monitor and they can kind of pick up right where they left off. So there's really no glitch to it. And then the last one I usually use for critical components, so like servers and switches and things, and they are called double conversion.
Okay.
So what that means is they take the AC coming in from the wall, convert it to DC, and then they have their AC converter and they convert it back to AC that goes into your equipment.
Oh, interesting.
And so those are called double conversion, and those will...
That sounds like a total extra layer of protection.
Right, because it has to blow up the AC to DC, and then it's got to blow up the DC to AC.
Yeah.
And then there's probably some surge suppressor circuitry in there as well somewhere. So it's got to blow up, you know, all that stuff to get to your equipment. Well,
that's a really good argument for something like that during lightning season, you know.
Yeah.
But they're
yeah.
probably expensive as all get out, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah. My problem I usually run into is they tend to run a fan nearly continuously once you get above.
Oh, so they're noisy.
So they're noisy. That's their, so they're always running because they have to cool all that equipment that's doing the conversion. Yeah. You have those losses there.
It's, sure.
It's, okay. You know, so anyway. Yeah. But those, yeah.
But, I mean, at the very least, I mean, but go, if you, go sink $69 into one at one of the local big box stores or, you know, order at your favorite online ordering place or whatever. It will truly save your electronics.
Yep. Well, yeah, and, so. And a lot of those have a connected, you know, I've never tried that, but, I've you know, a connected equipment guarantee.
Uh-huh.
So, depending on which one you choose. So
yeah.
You, it,
yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah, I've found that it's, I mean, I can statistically say that the electronics that I have connected to surge suppressors or to battery backups have lasted. I'd say they're probably going to last 20, 25, 30% longer than other devices. So, because, you know, as a matter of fact, I was very first thing this morning replacing a power supply. And it, here's another note. If the Holy Cross guys show up and tell you that they're going to replace a transformer on a pole next to your house. That's a really good time to unplug all your stuff from the outlets in your house, because when they brought them back online, they told them, they said, we prefer you don't be in the building while we do this. So, and what do you know? It didn't take out any people because they weren't in the building, but it did take out a computer.
So maybe turn off your, go and turn off the master, the main breaker.
Yeah, I suppose that could be as well. It seems to me like that seems like a no-brainer, like the guys from Holy Cross should have caught that. But
well, but those are in the house a lot of the time, so they don't have access to it necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. So. But, yeah, I mean, if there's guys working on the power poles next to your house, unplug your stuff. It's like, it's no good thing could happen. You know, that's all I got to say. So I can't remember. I pulled up a statistic a number of years ago, and I ended up quoting it to a customer today. And I, you know, kind of thought to myself as I was spouting these words out that I kind of maybe should update the statistic. But the statistic was that somewhere around 85% of all computer errors, operating system glitches, freezes, things like that, are due to dirty power. And, you know, basically dirty power coming out of the wall. And what it does, you know, the computer's sitting there trying to keep this little collection of zeros and ones in the memory chips. And like one errant little, you know, spark comes along and a couple of zeros and ones get switched, and all of a sudden your computer tries to retrieve that something that's stored in memory, and it doesn't get back what it stashed there in the first place, and blue screen, you know, is pretty much what happens. And so if you
that'd be an interesting test to see how that corresponds to a modern computer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it would.
So because I know that over the last, you know, 20 years, they've gotten much better at dealing with, you know, noise and static and all those things.
More capacitors, basically.
More. What are they called? Coupling capacitors. You know, they've gotten better at it, but you know, I think clean power is definitely, if you want it, you know, if you want it to just run, that's not a bad place to make an investment.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, and like I said, $69 plus tax, you know, for a basic one. And
that one may even do AVR even.
Yeah, just make sure you don't load it up with a whole bunch of non-critical.
Oh, you're talking about UPS, not a Furman. Yeah, not an AVR.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that people do is they plug everything in sight into their battery backup, and they wonder why it only lasts 4 minutes when the power goes out.
Yeah, the only thing you need the monitor. Yeah. Your computer, any external hard drives that you're using.
And, of course, your refrigerator.
And, of course, your refrigerator.
And your space heater.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so, you know, so those are the three things that you have to have to be able to go, oh, I'm out of, you know, the power's out, I need to turn my computer off. You have to have the screen. You got to have your computer.
CPU.
You know, any external hard drives is probably a good place so you have time to shut it down. A lot of them do have a side that is just... you know, a what do you call it?
One of them's only surge protector, and the other one's battery backup.
And you got to
read the printing on the top of the thing. It's kind of like delineated with these little white lines.
Yeah, it's usually one side is surge only, and the other one side is surge and battery.
So you can plug your refrigerator into the non-battery protected side.
Chris, then you have a...
If you insist.
Chris, then you have a noisy... You have your nice noisy motor.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah,
inside of your filtering. To dirty the power.
So every time the refrigerator comes on, your screen goes.
I mean, I guess that is something that, you know. There are devices that are noisier. You know, so an inverter, that's something noisy. It draws a lot of power. So separating those things out will enhance your computing experience
for sure. Well, I'm really glad we had this talk because, you know, now all of our educated listeners are going to have a much better summer.
Yeah, so they hear the thunder, they'll be counting thunder going, well, that's about three seconds out. I'm going to go unplug everything.
Yeah, yeah. The number of computers that we may have saved today, just, it boggles my mind. So, not to mention, there's a lot of F words that, like, we've kind of headed off at the pass.
Yeah.
You know? So, because for some reason, that seems to be the universal way of communicating. My computer just crashed.
Yes. How do we put the smoke back in?
Yes, exactly. I've spent most of my day contemplating how to put the smoke back in. So,
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie, the computer guy.
Hey, thanks for running the board, Matt.
You're welcome. We'll be back on the 19th.
Woohoo. It's getting close. It's almost summer, man.
Almost summer, yep.
Bring on the lightning.